We are, I'm going to do a message today. It may be a two-part message. I'm not sure. It is a two-part message. I have the second part, but I just want to say that I might preach that next week. I might not. So, but today we're going to preach a message called Born to Win. And so I had to get this painting that Melissa was painting this morning. About a month ago, she painted something, maybe 6 weeks ago. And I took the painting because I was like, wow, that's so in line with what I'm speaking about. And I set it right here. And then I never said a thing about it the whole service. And afterwards, I was like, oh, I never did say anything about the painting. But I thought, well, maybe the Lord just wanted me to set it there. Because here's the thing about these things. They can speak to each one of us differently. You know, artwork is, what would you say, subjective, right? Like, it depends on what you see. Some of you might look at this and see one thing, and I see another thing. Okay, but as she was painting it, before she put the jet or airplane in the sky, all I saw was the hand. Can you all see that? The hand with this beautiful sunrise. How many of you see that? Can you see that from way back there? All right, it's this hand with this beautiful sunrise, and then she painted the airplane, and I didn't even see that until I stepped up here. But when the hand was there with the sunrise, I thought, you have no idea what I'm speaking about today. And so I asked her. She said, nope, I have no idea. I said, good. I like it that way. And so I want you to see what the Lord's speaking here today. This painting is very prophetic. It's just a beautiful thing. Now, here's the thing about Melissa and all of our painters that do this. The Lord has spoken to them through these paintings. And Melissa, several years ago, I got to tell this testimony. Several years ago, we were back at the Fort Gratiot campus at the time. And Melissa was pregnant with, is Chad in here? Which child was it, Chad? Evelyn, was it Evelyn? Okay, she's pregnant with Evelyn, and Melissa had, she does stuff with horses, equestrian stuff, and like therapy and things like that with children, and so she was lifting a child to get up on the horse, and she felt a tear. You correct me at any time if I'm wrong in any of this. Felt like a, almost like a tear took place. And she started developing some symptoms of some problems there. And she came up for prayer, and was in the same service that you came up for prayer that the painting was painted? Yes? I can't remember. So anyway, there was a painting, and she saw this painting with that particular week with a hand, like the hand of God, and the person that was painted a child, an unborn child, in the hand. And so Melissa came up for prayer. And when she did, she said she felt like, it just happened to be I was praying with her that day, and she said she felt like almost like a zipper, like God zipped her up. How many remember that testimony? And she was fine. She carried Evelyn. Evelyn's here today. Evelyn was born on leap year, February 29th. Is that correct? Yep. Not only was she born on February 29th, she's the second child in a row that was born on February 29th, 4 years apart. It made the news, right? It was that big of a deal. It made the news because that how rare that is. Isn't that cool? And in a service, she has that painting at home still to this day. And we were just talking about, she said, it inspires me, it encourages me, I remember, you know, it builds my faith again because I remember what God has done. So don't ever discount this kind of thing. This is a ministry, right? God gifted these people to do this type of thing, all right? So I'm talking about born to win, and when I'm talking about this, I'm going to talk about that God, we were born to win. We were born to have everything. How many of you know that? We were born to have everything. And when she painted this hand with this beautiful sunrise with everything, it's like God saying, I gave it all to you, right? Now, the plane, to me, that has personal significance. I don't know about you, but to me, that has personal significance because I've had two dreams about airplanes and airports, prophetic dreams that I knew were for my ministry, for this church, for my family. And so I'm like, yes, Lord, you're just saying, not only did I give you everything, but I will fulfill the promises. All your promises are yes and amen, right? So the promises he made me in those dreams, I'm receiving that, Melissa, this morning. I'm receiving that right for myself personally, okay? And you take for what you want out of that, okay? All right, I want you to turn to two scriptures, Ezekiel chapter 36 and Genesis chapter 1. Two scriptures. Ezekiel 36, Genesis 1. If you have the YouVersion app, all of the notes and scriptures are right there on the app. You can just go there and follow along. All right, we're going to read Genesis 1, 26 through 28 first. Born to win. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Just so you don't get confused, just so you're sure about this, he repeated himself. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. All right? So everybody raise your hand, men and women alike, boys and girls. Say, I am created in the image of God. Come on. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good? You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. And you should say that all the time. You should say that. It's okay to say, I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. Come on, can you just raise your hand and say that? I am a son of God. Amen. You should declare that daily. You should get up out of bed when your feet hit the floor, say, I am a son of God or a daughter of God. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a much better day if you do. Just get it out of the way. Just right off the bat, just you're saying it to yourself, but you're reminding the enemy who you are. Lest you forget, enemy, I am a son of God. All right, so watch. So God created mankind in his own image, and the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I'm not going to get into that today, but that's significant. God blesses them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground. Okay, so here we go. Point number one. I got 3 points, and in point number three, I got 4 points in that point. Now, that sounds like a lot of points, but I'm going to move real quick, okay? Real quick. Number one, point number one, we were created to win. We were created to win, okay? The original purpose of God was for mankind to rule over creation, all of creation. There were no limitations. In a very real way, they, Adam and Eve, were perfect. In a very real way, they were perfect. They were given the keys to the kingdom. When God created them, he gave them the keys. He said, this is all yours. Look, right here. This is all yours. Okay? Rule over it. Subdue it. It's yours. Reign over this. Okay? I'm giving it to you. It's all yours. All right? So they were given the keys to the kingdom, and everything that belonged to the Father also belonged to them. Their rule was over all creation. Somebody say all.
All.
Somebody say all.
All.
It was over all creation. Okay? Every created thing and being. Every created thing and being. That's right, even Satan and all of his demons. Their rule was over them as well. Amen? Okay, so think about this. In Adam and Eve's commission to subdue the earth, they were without sickness, poverty, and sin. They were perfect. They had no sickness, they had no poverty, they had no sin, they had no fear, they had no doubt, they had no depression, they had no anxiety. They had no obstacles in their way. None. All they knew was the goodness of God. That's all they knew. And so, this doesn't mean that they didn't have a free will to make choices. They had a free will. They absolutely had the same free will that we have today. And also, you need to understand, it's important to understand that they were also able to face temptations. Just because they were perfect and just because they had none of those things that we have today, they were still able to face temptations. And we see that as Satan worked through the serpent to tempt them to eat the fruit that God said not to eat. They were completely without sin, but they were able to be tempted. But because of the winning nature that they had, they were born to win. They were born with this nature. They had power and authority over temptation. They just had to exercise it. They had the power and authority. They had a winning nature. All they had to do was exercise it. Is this making sense to you? Okay, so this is what we were created for. We were created to rule. We were created to subdue. We were created to reign. We were created to win. Amen? Look at somebody and say, you were created to win. You were created to win. All right? That's what you were made for. You were made for winning. You weren't made for losing. You were, oh, come on, that feels good right there. You're a winner, not a loser. You were made to win, not to lose. You were made to rule and reign. You were made to subdue. You were created for that. It's in you. It's who you were created to be. It's who Adam and Eve were created to be. But here's what happened. Point number two. See, I'm moving fast. Point number two. They went from a win nature to a sin nature. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there's a couple things to look at here. First of all, these two trees in the center of the Garden of Eden, God calls them the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you all know that I've often referred to them as the tree of life and the tree of death, right? Tree of life and the tree of death, because that's what they were. If you ate from one, you lived forever, and if you ate from the other, you died. That's what they were called, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, tree of life and tree of death. We could also call these trees, for the purpose of this message, the winning tree and the losing tree. Think about that. If you ate from one, I believe with all of my heart, now we don't have documentation of this, but we do have the Lord saying we need to banish them from the Garden of Eden, because if we don't, they'll eat from the tree of life and live like this forever, so we don't want them to stay like this forever, so let's banish them from the Garden of Eden, okay? But I believe with all my heart that had they eaten from the winning tree, the tree of life first, they would have never touched the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Think about that. They had a choice. And they were tempted by the enemy, and they chose to give up, to listen to the enemy and give up their win nature. All right? So they had this opportunity, but they chose not to listen to God. Adam and Eve gave away their rightful authority. They gave it away. Satan didn't steal it from them. He didn't have the power or authority to do so. He could not steal this from them. He had to convince them to give it away. He had to convince them to give up the win nature that they were created with and take on a sin nature. And that's what he did. It's so important to understand this, and we're going to get into this a little bit more in point three. So I'm not going to park there, but we'll get to that in just a second. So we went from a win nature to a sin nature, and after that, we were all born with a sin nature. Right? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. In case you need to see it in Scripture, here it is. Ready? And you were dead. Somebody say dead. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Who do you think that is? Enemy, Satan. That's Satan. You were once dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Let me read it again. Following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by, say it, nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. By nature. We weren't born with that nature. We were created with the wind nature. Adam and Eve were created with the wind nature. But because they rightfully gave up the wind nature and took on a sin nature, they gave their authority over to the enemy. They gave their authority. This is important for you to hear and understand, because this will not connect with you if you don't get this part. He could not steal their authority from them. The only way he could gain authority is for them to come in agreement with him against God. You get that? And that's what they did. They came in agreement with Satan. They believed his lie over the truth of God's word. God said, don't eat from the tree. Satan convinced them to eat from the tree. They ate from the tree, and they gave him authority in doing so. And they stepped from a win nature to a sin nature. Okay? So there it is, the sin nature. Okay, point number three. Ready? This is the good news. We were born again to win. Huh? Come on. The win nature was redeemed. Come on, that should make you happy right there. That should make you, your win nature was redeemed. We were born to win, and then we gave it away, and then we were born again to win. Amen? I'm excited about that. You may not be as excited as me, but I'm excited. So I have 4 points within this final point. All right? It's going to be A, B, C, and D. Here we go. Point A, Jesus restored it all. You guys sound halfway excited about that. Let me just take a water break here. I said Jesus restored it all. It's better. That's what I needed, was a drink of water. That's what I needed. Guess I didn't say it clear enough the first time. Must have had a frog in my throat. Because of his sacrifice, he has given us the ability, watch this, because of Jesus' sacrifice, he has given us the ability to be perfect again. Yeah. And you say, well, wait a minute. You just said be perfect. Nobody's perfect. Oh, yes, yes, you're mistaken. If we didn't have the ability to be perfect, then why would Jesus say be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect? That's scriptural. How many of you know that's scriptural? It is. So the ones that didn't know that, look it up. You can Google it right now. It's funny, right before service, we were talking about that, about scriptures and where they're found, and somebody said, well, that's why we have Google. That's right. Just Google it. It's right there. It'll show it to you, right? Jesus said to us, he said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus is not playing games with us. He doesn't just say stuff to say stuff. You should know that. If he says it, he means it. Amen? Amen? So he wouldn't tell us to be perfect if we couldn't be perfect. We can be perfect because we were born again into a win nature. Now, what does perfection look like? Perfection doesn't look like what you think it looks like, right? We have a word for perfection. It's called perfect here in the United States, right? That's what we use in English language. But when you look at what Jesus was talking about, he wasn't talking about be perfect in every little thing that you do and the way, you know, crossing every T, dotting every I, never making a mistake. What he was saying is because now you are born again, now you have my spirit living in you, you can be perfect because my blood, my grace, my mercy do all the work. If y'all think, listen, if you think that you're working for salvation, then you're in trouble. You're in a bad place. You don't have to do any work for salvation. You just have to believe and follow. That's it. Just trust. Trust and obey. Trust and believe. Trust and follow. That's all you have to do. You don't have to work. You can't work for it. You cannot earn salvation. It was a free gift given to you because Jesus died and redeemed that win nature. And so by taking on the win nature, again, by being born again into a win nature, now you can be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So what's that mean? When I make a mistake, guess what? Father, man, forgive me for that. Thank you for convicting me of that. Forgive me for that. Well, guess what? God's grace covers a multitude of sin, right? Paul said it this way. He said, don't use God's grace as an excuse to keep on sinning. Okay? That's not what it's there for. But what it is, it's an assurance for you that, you know what? When you make a mistake, his grace has covered you. You are still perfect in his grace. Oh, come on, y'all. This is good right here. You're still perfect in his grace. I'm not talking about hyper grace. I'm not talking about you can just do whatever you want, live however you want. If that's what you're doing, then you don't really have a heart for God. You're really not living to follow him. You're following your own selfish desires. You're back in the sin nature. But the win nature, being born again, is saying, I want to follow Jesus with all my heart. How many know what I'm talking about? You want to follow him, but you make mistakes. Anybody want to follow him and you really have a heart for him, but you make some mistakes? Anybody? Anybody? Me? Yes? God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace covers a multitude of sins. Right? His grace is what makes us perfect. Oh, thank you, Father. Can we just take a grace break right here? Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, for when I am weak, you are strong. Father, when I make a mistake, you convict me by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you for repentance. Father, because when I make a mistake, Lord, you convict me, and Holy Spirit, thank you that you say that to me. And then I go, forgive me, Father. But here's the thing about it. If you don't understand that, then you'll grow up or you'll live your life like I grew up. I grew up thinking I had to get saved every time I made a mistake. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Kim's talked about this before. She said she got saved, 1,238,462 times when she was growing up. Because every mistake she made, she felt like she had to get saved again. That's what grace is about. Yes? Yeah, you getting it? So thank you, Father, for your grace. So now we can be perfect. Now look at Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. Ephesians 4, 2, 4 through 7. It says this, but God, this is a scripture. Now we just read this scripture just a minute ago, the beginning of this. Now we're reading the second part of this. Watch. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. So you've been saved by grace and you've been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So that's how we're walking around right now. We're walking around seated in heavenly places. Guess what that means? That means he's restored the authority we had given away. So that, look, watch, seated in places, heavenly places with Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In redeeming man, Jesus retrieved what man had given away. He had retrieved it. He went to hell. He took those keys back. And he came back to earth and said, now I'm giving them to you. They were yours to begin with. And now I'm giving them back to you. I've said this a lot, and you know it, but I'm going to say it to you again, because you need to hear it over and over again. I need to hear it over and again. But in the Garden of Eden, as we talked about, in the garden there were two trees in the middle of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of death, okay? And I said this to our Wednesday night class when we were going through the complaining cure last Wednesday. I said, I believe that Adam and Eve were standing between those two trees, because the Bible says that those two trees were in the middle of the garden, but God said there were trees all over the garden. So they probably walked around and picked fruit from different trees and ate it and all that. But when they were standing there being tempted by the enemy, they were standing there next to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, if those two trees were in the center of the garden, then that tree of life had to be right there as well. So picture, if you will, the tree of life right here and the tree of death right here. And Adam and Eve are standing between these trees. And the enemy speaking to them from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of death. And they turn to this tree, listen to the enemy, and then pick the fruit and eat it, right? They chose death. Right? Does that make sense to you? I mean, you might have another interpretation. There's no documentation to tell us they were standing between the two trees, but if they were both there. But then if you look further in the Word of God, this is where it really comes home for me. So Jesus redeemed the wind nature for us. How did he do it? He died on a cross, right? The cross often is referred to as a tree, right? Jesus hung on a tree. Well, where did he hang? He hung between two trees, between two thieves. Did you know that those thieves represented life and death? Think about this for a second. He's hanging between two trees. Oh, God's so good. Are y'all getting a picture of this? God's so good. When he does it perfectly. Like, when you really dig into Scripture, it will blow your mind when you say, Holy Spirit, reveal it to me. So Jesus came back to the place where it was given away, and he hung between two trees, life and death. Why do we know that? Because one thief cursed Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, then get yourself down from there and save us too. He's cursing at him. He's shouting at him. He's yelling at him. He's condemning him. And the other thief hanging over here, what did he say? He said, he addressed death, which I love. What's wrong with you? We deserve to be here for what we've done, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. One chose death and the other chose life. So Jesus hanging between life and death, the tree of life and the tree of death, and he redeemed it all for us. Amen? Isn't that good? Amen? mean, he did it right. Of course he did. He did it right. So from the throne of triumph, Jesus declared, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore." Right? This is the commission. In other words, this is what Jesus was saying. He was saying, "I got it all back. Now you go and reclaim mankind. I got it all back. Now I'm sending you. Go tell some people about this. Go lead some people to me. Come on. You have the authority now." The original plan was never aborted. It was never aborted. It was fully realized once and for all in the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. We were then completely restored to his original plan of ruling and reigning over the earth. People who were created in his image, and now we're just to go and enforce it on the earth. He just said, "Look, I reclaimed it. I redeemed it. I brought it back to you. I'm giving you the keys. Now go in the wind nature that you were born again into and reclaim the earth." And that's what we're to do. Okay, that's point A of my last 4 points. Point B is this. Once again, Satan is under our authority. Think about it. He has to get permission from us because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now he has to go through us to get permission to do anything on this earth. Do y'all believe that? How many believe that? It's true. It's scriptural. Satan has no authority, he has no right, no authority to steal from you anymore. He has no authority to do it. Jesus reclaimed the authority and gave it back to us. When you were born again, he gave it back to you. He put it in your hands. He gave you the keys. And so now Satan has to come to us and get permission to do anything. This is why he can't force you to do anything. He can tempt you, but he's not forcing you. You have a choice to make, just like they did in the Garden of Eden. You're standing every day that you walk on this earth, you're standing between life and death. You're back in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to show you in a scripture in a minute, okay? You know I'm going to, because I'm always going to back it up with scripture. But I'm going to show you how he redeemed us back to the Garden of Eden. I know this doesn't look like the Garden of Eden. I get it. Our world is in a mess. I get it, okay? But he gave us the wind nature again. He gave it back to us, so now it's like we're standing there in the garden again between these trees of life and death, and we choose every day which one we're going to choose. We make that choice every day. Choose life or choose death. The enemy's still talking like he did to Eve and Adam in the garden, still trying to convince us to come on over and take a bite of that fruit. But we know what God's told us. We know what he warned us. And so because we've been redeemed, because we've been born again into a wind nature, let's not make the same mistake that Adam and Eve made in the garden. Start having conversations with the enemy. Start cozying up to him and all that kind of thing. Start walking as close to the line as possible. Hello, somebody. The scriptures say in the New Testament, flee the very appearance of evil. And too many Christians have been walking as close as we can to the line of evil. We're real close to the tree of death right now. When we should be way over here hugging the tree of life. If you're going to be a tree hugger, hug the tree of life. Right? So Satan has no authority. Get this straight. Satan has no authority. Look at somebody and say, Satan has no authority. He has power, but he doesn't have authority. There's a difference. Don't mistake this. There's a difference between power and authority. Satan has power. We have authority. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you happy about that? You have authority to say to him, get away from me. Shut your mouth, Satan. I command that demon to shut his mouth right now. Do you know that you have the authority? Okay, some of you are going to be like, oh man. Do you know that you have the authority to command the demon to tell you his name? Yes. Yes, you do. Jesus did it in the Word. Did he do it in the Word? Yes, he did in Scripture, right? And the demon said, we are legion, for we are called legion, for we are many. And then Jesus cast legion out. So we have the authority. We can do everything that Jesus gave this, the authority to do, everything that he did, and even greater things. We have the authority to say, that demon that continues to torment, maybe you, maybe your family, maybe whatever, shut your mouth and leave. And if the demon won't shut up, tell me your name, because I'm about to call you by name. Oh, y'all remember when you were kids and your parent used your middle name along with your first name, your whole name? William Edward Wall? Oh, man, I ran and hid somewhere because I knew Dad was mad when he used my middle name too, right? Why? Because, but that's funny, but at the same time, because I'm about to exercise authority over you, son, right? I'm about to exercise my authority as your father. Well, we've been given that authority to exercise over the enemy. Don't abuse the authority. Don't go out there and try to do parlor tricks with it. That's not what this is about. This is about living by the word of God in the kingdom of God and exercising the authority we've been given by God. Born to win. Okay, so C, point C. We have a greater advantage. This is important to know. All right, I got one more point after this, and we're about to close this thing out. So whoever's going to play something, come on up. Okay, here we go. We have a greater advantage. You know, why do we have a greater advantage? Because we know evil. Watch this. Watch this. We have a greater advantage than Adam and Eve had because we know evil. We know the destruction of evil. We know the difference between good and evil. Did y'all ever think about that? Remember, Adam and Eve did not know evil. They did not have their eyes open to the knowledge of good and evil, but we know the enemy's schemes. Now, if you're sitting there going, is this really scriptural? It is. Guess what? It is. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't. I'm going to show it to you. Ready? 2 Corinthians 2:11. Put it up there. Satan will not outsmart us. Why? For we are familiar with his evil schemes. Why will he not outsmart us? For we're familiar with his evil schemes. See, remember, Adam and Eve are talking to the serpent. Satan was working through the serpent and talking to them, but they weren't familiar with the evil schemes of the enemy. They had no knowledge of good and evil. All they knew was good. And as he's talking with them, deceiving them, they had no understanding or knowledge of how evil worked. Now, I'm not using that as an excuse to let them off the hook for what happened. I'm just saying this is the truth. This is what was going on. But here we stand between two trees, and we have the knowledge of evil. We know how destructive evil can be. Can somebody say amen? You know how destructive evil can be, right? You're aware of it. You've seen the toll it's taken on your own life, the toll it took on your family's life, the toll it may have taken on your marriage or on loved ones around you. You've seen the toll it's taken on the earth. We know evil, and so because we know evil, Satan will not outsmart us. And then Jesus said this, John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He made it clear. I'm just telling you, this is the thief's purpose. All right? My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So we see it, we know it, we get it. Evil will destroy us. And so we're not going to let that happen because we have the authority now. All right, point D, my last point. This is a good one. Save the best for last. This is a good one. Guess what? Nothing is impossible. Aren't you happy for that? Nothing is impossible. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know the difficulties in your life. I don't know what you've been praying for. Well, some of you I do, because I'm praying with you. But you know. And here's the good news. I don't know why I'm looking right at you, but Miss Ruth, nothing is impossible. Doesn't matter what the enemy said. Doesn't matter all the lies he's telling. He can keep on lying. Nothing is impossible. You have authority. You have the authority. You have the win nature. It's been redeemed to you, and now you have it, and you're walking in it. So you can take authority over all those lies of the enemy, over all the things the enemy's been trying to say to you about yourself, your family, your life, whatever it is. All of us, we have the win nature, all right? So nothing is impossible to him who believes. So I want you to say this. Say, I believe that I have the win nature. Say, I believe I've been born again. I believe it's all been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Amen. So Ezekiel, I'm going to show you two scriptures in Ezekiel just to show this to you, because this is really beautiful to see this. This is a scripture about Israel, and these are scriptures about Israel, but they're also prophetic scriptures about the church, about the body of Christ. And I'm going to show it to you and let you see this. Ready? Ezekiel 36, chapter 36, verse 33. This is what the sovereign Lord says. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins. Hello? Anybody been cleansed from all their sins? Raise your hand. Have you been cleansed from all your sins? Okay. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. Can I just declare this for Port Huron, Michigan, and the United States of America? Can I just declare that for this? I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. They will say, watch, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. Come on, y'all. Why? Because he redeemed. Jesus redeemed it all. That's what people should be saying when they see our lives. They should be like, man, whoo, something is attractive to them. I want to be around them. I see life when I see them. I see joy when I see them. Man, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just drawn over here. And if we're walking in and exercising this win nature, that's what they'll see. But watch this. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and I will do it. And guess what? He sent Jesus and he did it. Okay? Now watch what happens. So that's in chapter 36, and that's right at the end of the chapter. And then if you flip over to chapter 37, verse 1. You all know this, but here it comes. It's good. Then the Lord took hold of me. Oh, I just want to stop right there because I feel Holy Spirit right now. The Lord took hold of me. You were born again into a wind nature, and then you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Come on, how many have been filled with the Holy Spirit? How many have a prayer language, a heavenly language? Yeah, that's powerful. Amen? So the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. And he led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. And they were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. And suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. and these bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then I watched as muscles and flesh formed over the bones, and then the skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, and breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke. Oh, I got to stop and say this. So I spoke. Come on. So I spoke. So I got up out of my chair and I spoke. So I got up off my lazy boy and I spoke. So I got out into the world and I spoke. Because I was born again into a wind nature. And when I was born again, my Savior gave me some keys. And when he gave me the keys, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and speak a prophetic message. Go into all the world and say, dry bones, live again. See, this is a message for Israel, but this is a prophetic message for the church. So he says this. He says, so I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. And they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Now watch this. You ready? Watch this. Matthew 19:26. How is this going to happen? Come on, y'all. This is so good. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, say humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Yeah? Everything is possible. Watch this. Humanly speaking, sin nature. With God, wind nature. Humanly speaking, sin nature. With God, wind nature. Humanly speaking, you can't do it. But with God, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You were born again. I was born again into a wind nature. Jesus reclaimed it all and gave it back to us so that we would go into this world, prophesy to this world, to these dry bones, to live again. And I'm telling you, this is what we've been called to do. And I hope today this message has fired you up to get out there and speak the word of the Lord, to proclaim the day of the Lord, to walk in the wind nature that you've been reborn to walk in. I'm going to leave you with this scripture, Philippians 3:13-14. It says, brothers, I for my part do not think myself as having yet gotten a hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I keep pursuing the goal in order to, say it, win. I keep pursuing the goal in order to
win.
I keep pursuing the goal in order to
win.
Is that what it says up there? It does. In order to win the prize offered by God's upward calling in the Messiah Yeshua. I pursue the goal to win because I've been given a win nature. I no longer live in the sin nature. Amen? So if that's you, just stand to your feet right now. We're just going to thank the Lord for his word today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you, Father, that it's all been given to us. That you offer the whole world to us to reclaim for your kingdom. Father, you've commissioned us to go. You've encouraged us to go. You've spoken to us prophetically to go. So help us to go. Father, help us to go. Say, Father, help me to go. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Show me, Father. Propel me, Father, to go into this world and speak life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.